From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm David Watts Barton. The closure of parks, pools, and other community centers has been one of the ongoing features of tight government budgets in our area. Some surprising areas have been hit, including popular McKinley Park in East Sacramento, one of Sacramento's best-off areas. But East Sac residents pulled together to fund the maintenance and manage McKinley Park's Clooney Clubhouse, and they are here this morning to tell us how they did it. They may also have some ideas to share for other hard-hit areas, how they might do the same thing. Joining me this morning are Lisa Schmidt and Cecily Hastings of East Sacramento. They are co-founders of Friends of East Sac. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you.
Thanks.
What was threatened in McKinley Park?
The closure of the community center was actually scheduled for July of last year as part of the city's budget for the year, fiscal year, starting in July. And because they had existing rentals commitments, they were making kind of the effective date of the closure sometime, I think, in September. Mm. But the council, in closing the centers, taking the funding away from them, asked the Parks Department to go out into the community and try to find nonprofit partners mm-hmm. that they could that would be willing to take over these centers. And that's the first time that Lisa and I heard of it.
And that's Cecily Hastings from the Friends of East Sac. This was sort of done in degrees, right? I mean, weren't the pools closed first, and then some of the community centers?
Well, there's been kind of a rollout of right. of cut in services in general. Mm-hmm. Not only a number of the pools had been closed in recent years, I even believe, and the cut back in maintenance of McKinley Park, cut back in maintenance of the McKinley Park Rose Garden, cut back in the maintenance and the care of the community centers. And it's not that the city wanted to destroy all this. They just were faced with the fiscal reality of being able to have to not have enough funds to deliver the kind of service that they had to maintain all these facilities and assets in the neighborhood.
Right. In fact, you did a piece in Inside the City, mm-hmm. One of your newspapers, and it was striking to me how expensive it is to run a city park, particularly one with a lot of different assets in it.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it's for instance, this is the one example that I've been told, and Mr. Combs here can confirm this. But, 5 years ago, there were two people working full time caring for the Rose Garden in McKinley Park. Now, two people work full time to maintain like six or seven parks, including all of McKinley Park.
Wow.
So, I mean, you just do the math on that. You can picture that situation. You can kind of see what the kind of tight budgets they've been faced with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's bring Jim Combs into it. He's director of Parks and Recreation in Sacramento, in the city of Sacramento. What kind of cuts have you seen? And you've been charged with executing all of this. What's the overall contours of the loss of money for parks in particular?
Good morning, David, and good morning, folks. It's been pretty severe. We started our downturn 4 years ago. This is our fifth year of declines in our budgets for the city. And the Department of Parks and Recreation has actually been one of the hardest hit departments in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we've lost over 50% of our general funds and over 50% of our staffing. We used to have two, three-person crews on our maintenance, for example, that would go out and we could maintain our parks, pick up trash daily, mow once a week, really stay on top of things, clean the bathrooms daily. Mm-hmm. Now we're down, over half of our crews are one-person crews. So they're running through the parks. We're lucky if we can pick up trash a couple times a week. Mm-hmm. We don't pick them up in every park. We pick up the trash where we know that there's heavily used parks. We mow about once every 14 days. We can't stay on top of the weeds. We've totally stopped all of our spray crews for weeds. There's no fertilization programs. And then when you get to the community center and pool side, we've mm-hmm. gradually rolled back the opening of our pools. We have 12 pools. Only six were open last summer, and five waiting pools were open. And we were faced going forward this year with we're looking at none of our pools being open, but mm-hmm. we do have possible good news there that we'll be announcing on the 14th of this month.
Can you give us a preview of what that good news is?
Well, we have a sponsor who has come in a fairly large way, and that'll be rolled out in a public announcement and a large media event on the 14th.
Okay.
So it's looking good for the pools, but that's a one-year deal. Then we're right back where we were before. This is not a long-term fix. So the long-term fix is this economy recovering and us coming out of the economy. Last year, as Cecily mentioned, we were faced with the council literally cutting back the operations of most of our community centers, including Clooney, including Oak Park. And Michael is here today from the Oak Park community. And we were faced, they literally told me at the council meeting, this is unacceptable. We want you to keep the community centers open, but we're not going to give you any money. So the challenge was to get out there and find community groups and organizations that would take over the operation of these facilities. Now, they did come through a couple of months later and give me some operational funds to help out, but it's very severe.
And how many parks and community centers are we talking about?
We have over 200 parks, about 14 community centers. We have 12 pools and 5 freestanding wading pools.
And how many employees now? You said you're down 50%?
Yes.
How many employees do you have in the whole department?
About 65% of our department right now is off the general fund through grant funding and state funds and so forth. So counting all of that together, we have over 600 employees still. We still are a large department. And we still have a large amount of programs. They're just not as extensive as they were. For example, we're still running community centers, but not in the way we did before.
Okay.
We're still operating pools, but not full operations.
I'm speaking with Jim Combs of
Combs
of the Sacramento Department of Parks and Rec. Also here are Cecily Hastings and Lisa Schmidt from the Friends of East Sacramento, who have managed to pull together a group of people and some money and some processes to keep McKinley open. And also here is Michael Boyd from the Oak Park Neighborhood Association. And you are you've been talking with Cecily and Lisa and Jim, I'm assuming, to figure out ways in order to keep some of your community centers open. Which centers are you particularly focused on in Oak Park?
We only have one, the Oak Park Community Center on Martin Luther King Boulevard. So that's what we're focusing on. We've been speaking with Lisa, Cecily, anyone who has any good ideas, we want to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at Sierra 2 and Curtis Park as a model that's been around for a long time.
Right.
See how we can emulate and learn from them.
Yeah, in fact, let's. I want to talk about Oak Park, but let's also talk about CR2 because I don't think a lot of people realize it was originally a school.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then the school was decommissioned.
Yes.
And the neighbors drew together and turned it into a community center.
More than 35 years ago.
Yes, it's and that was a case where the neighborhood association took the lead on that. There was a little bit different situation because it was from what we've and we. Talked to that we actually went over and spent quite a bit of time over there, and their director of Sierra 2 is on our advisory team. That their that school, the condition they got it in was pretty good. It what the school had maintained it, the school district had maintained it right up until the end, and so that they did not have a lot of restoration to do to that historic building. That we're now facing with Clooney. So that made it a little bit easier, but the facility's almost 10 times larger.
Right.
That's why we knew that if it could work on that scale and we took the sort of best practices that they used in the managing of that center and applied them to Clooney, that without even that type of organization, Sierra Curtis Neighborhood Association is very strong and very broad in terms of their membership and skills and everything. That's why we realized that on a much smaller scale that Lisa and I could oversee this.
Getting back to Oak Park, Michael Boyd, you're trying to save the community center. Is it open at all now?
Or it is open about 2.5 days a week now. And our goal is to make sure we open up a full-time schedule again.
And what does what function does the community center serve in your neighborhood, especially since it's the only one?
Well, you can imagine what a community center does function as. It has a kitchen area, it has rooms for rent, it has conference rooms, it has a new basketball court, indoor basketball court, all of which are now being underutilized, and we know there's a demand for them.
When you say they're being underutilized, but there's a demand for them, what's they're underutilized in the sense that they aren't open?
They're simply not open. Oak Park Neighborhood Association used to meet at the community center, and now we can't because they're not open on Thursday night when we meet.
And so when it is open, it's still being used pretty substantially?
From what I hear, yes.
And so what are you finding out from Lisa and Cecily in terms of, and from Jim, in terms of what you can do in order to make this work? Because Oak Park has a very different economic base than a neighborhood like East Sacramento does.
It does, but that can also be used as be an asset in a way. I think no one wants to see a community center in a great neighborhood like Oak Park close. And so we will get a lot of support. Our goal right now as a neighborhood association is simply to keep the doors open. Then we'll outreach to the entire community and say, now what does this community center mean for us? How do we make this center work for all of the people here? Mm-hmm. We'll design programs around that. And there are ways of doing that. Because we're Oak Park and we have a reputation for being very active, Oak Park Neighborhood Association, by many measures, is one of the most active and best attended neighborhood associations in the entire country. Hmm. We get 75 to 100 members come to every meeting every month.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Anyone who's been to a community center neighborhood meetings knows that's a lot of people.
So we have a lot of
assets.
We
don't have that in East Sacramento. Yeah. It's very difficult to get more than 20 people to a meeting on even a very contentious issue. It's not the level of activity and involvement in Oak Park. Mm-hmm. Is quite astounding compared to East Sacramento.
So our resources are different, but we have great resources in Oak Park. And we're being a little creative in different ways. We're talking with different schools, including Sac State, to see if we can come up with an internship program that would benefit both the students and community center and the community. So there are ways we can leverage our what are considered weaknesses and convert them into assets.
Jim, how do you look at a neighborhood like Oak Park versus East Sac, because Oak Park has such limited resources, when you're having to go, I'm assuming that you have the discretion to go around and decide which things get open and closed as the director?
Well, I don't have full discretion, but the challenge for us is we do have a diversity of neighborhoods. And every neighborhood has different abilities to offer volunteer services, money, economics, whatever it is. So the challenge for us is going in and identifying folks that are interested in the neighborhood, that are interested in working with us, organizations. Mm-hmm. And literally, we're working different arrangements and putting together different agreements with every single neighborhood. This is not a cookie-cutter approach, so it's taking a lot of time, a lot of dialogue. What we're doing in Oak Park is a different model than what we've done with Clooney, for example. Mm-hmm. We have another center, Robertson, that we placed a charter school in there, and they're also running public programs and a farmer's market and keeping the facility open to the public. So each one of our community centers, which when they're operating the way they should operate, are the hubs of neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is pretty much in any community that you go in, any city. They become the gathering place. It's the hub of the neighborhood. So it's terrible what's happened to the community centers here. And we just try to go and find the energy wherever it's at and make that work for the centers.
Cecily Hastings, you in the article I referenced that you wrote, you spoke quite a bit about the financing and taking over a lot of these operations, because a lot of these community centers are actually run out of I don't want to say profit centers, but they actually produce income, which helps run the neighborhood centers. What did you do in East Sac to help replace some of that money? And what are we talking about in terms of the amount of money that the center was actually bringing in, as well as how much is it costing?
We went back 3 years and looked at the rental revenues that had come in for the past 3 years, and it had been higher in the past. And as all the talk of the closures of the neighborhood, and you know, that was a difficult part for us, was trying to figure out what we can expect our first year. And we had to really It's going to be substantially less than what it was last year in terms of rental revenue, because they've already cut back the hours. A lot of groups have already moved, and you know, we're going to have to rebuild. And you know, but the thing is that we're taking a really kind of I'm from the small business background, and we're taking a small business entrepreneurial approach to this, and having an on-site manager and the ability to just make quick decisions. I mean, if something doesn't work, you know, we're thinking of having a store in there to sell. There's a lot of kids that come after school and parents that bring their kids. We're thinking of having a espresso bar, but maybe just a coffee shop, and bring in a neighborhood bakery and sell things like that. And you know, frankly, we can do that for 60 days. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, we close up and we find another idea to use the space. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're not going to be mired in having to get a lot of approvals and deal with a big organization. We can just use the skills and resources that we have to try to make this work. And I think that's what it's going to take to do that. Mm-hmm. But we're going to definitely be in a rebuilding mode for a year. And that was the focus of our fundraising, because when we looked at this originally, we thought it could kind of break even the first year. But as we got into more detail, and the other difficult part for us is that the city doesn't keep its records and its bookkeeping like a business does. Mm-hmm. You know, we started asking a lot of questions, and poor Jim probably got my emails and thought, oh no, here she comes again. She wants some more detail, you know, and it would take a long time to get it. And you know, because it's just not like, you know, in our case, it's going to be Lisa's going to look up in a spreadsheet 6 months from now, and she can tell you exactly in 5 minutes what the situation is. Uh-huh. But we're dealing with a whole different ballgame with a big parks department. So that part was difficult, getting information. But as we realized when we got information and we started looking at the future, that we were going to have a substantial loss the first year. And that's where we had to make people, our team of advisors looked at it and said, you don't have enough money to take on this venture. And, you know, we're already a volunteered at least 500 hours between the two of us in the last 6 months. We don't want to go in the hole financially. We're not going to do that. So that's when we identified a goal, $45,000 that we needed for the first year. And then we identified a plan to get there, which was we're having corporations, but they're mostly a lot of small and large businesses were asked to, we have banners out in front that, mm-hmm. That as you walk up to Clooney, we'll have the names of the businesses, and they're very tasteful, and you know that they're involved in saving Clooney Center, and it's for 1 year, the banners will be up, and that actually helped us generate most of the what we need. Okay. We're still raising money for the restoration of the building. That is still an ongoing campaign that we're doing.
Okay. Well, as you said, it's a whole new ball game, and we're going to have to leave it there. But Cecily Hastings, Lisa Schmidt, Michael Boyd, Jim Combs, thank you all for coming in, and good luck. And good luck, Michael, with your process in Oak Park.
Well, thank you for having us, and thank you for the good words.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, nutrition in schools.